reminding the boys of that. Of course, they don't remember much about that long ago, but it was a wet weekend then, and it's a wet week or wet night tonight. So just some memories. But we are very thankful for you and your church family. You are an encouragement to us throughout the year, and we were able to talk to the boys about you on the way here and reminding them of some of the ways that you have encouraged us through mail and email and through your care for us. And I just want to thank you. And it's a privilege to be able to be here tonight to share an update. And so I just want to jump into that. I'm going to move to the side so I can see what's going on up here. And I want to just go through it quickly, and then we'll open God's Word together. Turn this on. This is a picture of the city of Boston. And we are in East Cambridge, Massachusetts. So looking at Boston, this is looking at Boston from the East Cambridge side, or actually on the bridge looking at it, and this is looking at East Cambridge. A little bit prettier picture here, but the Charles River is what separates us from Boston, and we are just two stops away, or actually one stop away from being into the city on the subway. Our subway line, which is about a 5-minute walk from our home, is then the next stop is Boston. So we're just across the river from the city of Boston. Here's another view of Boston from East Cambridge along the Charles River. A nice place to run alongside and walk. And so we're just very thankful for the opportunity to be so close to the city that the Lord has provided us to be able to be there in that location and neighborhood we pray to get back into. And thank you for praying with us. This is just a pictorial view from up above. And here's East Cambridge and the Charles River. The Museum of Science is kind of right on the river, and then here's Boston. So a lot of people associate, when they think of Cambridge or when they hear Cambridge, they think Harvard. And Harvard is actually a mile, maybe close to 2 miles, the opposite end of Cambridge, so way down here. We're actually in the neighborhood of MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology would be where we are. Oh, I just observed that that's up there. I'm still going to do this, if that's all right. And so Massachusetts Institute of Technology is right here. So we're very close to that campus. There's our family, my wife Susan, and our boys Curtis and Clayton. Curtis is 6, and Clayton is 4, soon to be 7 and 5. And so we're very thankful for them. We serve with Baptist and Missions. Very thankful for our mission board, and you're very familiar with the history of our mission. We're very thankful for our mission family. And our sending church is Faith Baptist Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Pastor Wayne Burgraff is the pastor. And this is a picture of our home and in East Cambridge. We've been there now for 2.5 years, I guess it has been. And a home that we prayed for and you prayed with us to get into. It was like this was the fourth home that we applied for. There are various reasons that we were rejected for the others based upon our source of income. The one landlady did not want to accept us because we were supported by you and other churches and individuals. And another one, someone's application beat ours, and another one did not accept us because we had children. And I think there was probably some lead paint issues, but it was this home that we now have and that we're renting from our landlord who lives in our neighborhood, so we're very thankful for that. And it's very close to the subway. When we started back when we were here in March of 2015, we were getting ready to start a second church plant in East Cambridge. I did an internship under Bill and Deb Edmondson, who have been in church planters with Baptism and Missions for a number of years, also served with Campus Bible Fellowship. He is a disciple of Hal Miller, Bill Edmondson is, and he was our intern and mentor. And we started a second church plant in our home in East Cambridge, but last year, Bill resigned as the pastor of the church that was meeting in his home. There were about 13. And they were 5 miles north of Boston in the city of Malden. And he then asked us if we would be willing, and the church asked us if we would be willing to become the pastor of the International Baptist Church. And so we prayed about it and said we would if the church would move to us. And they made that decision. It was a unanimous decision of 13 individuals. And there they are, gathered around us. This is last summer. When this transition happened, where they installed me as the pastor. And so we now have a team that is ministering alongside of us in Boston or in East Cambridge This is our International Baptist Church family. So we're very thankful for that. We were meeting in Bill and Deb's home until when this transition took place for a month last July. And then in August, we started meeting in the Cambridge Police Station, right? Just a couple of blocks from our home. It's the main Cambridge station right in Cambridge. And we found out that they have a community room that they have to offer to the community free of charge. And so we signed up every Sunday for several weeks. And it was just one room. So we had our prayer time, we had our song time, and our message time. And then we have three children right now, our two and another child. And they would meet in the corner of the room during the message. And I didn't realize the difficulty of that until Dr. Rosenau was visiting with us last Thanksgiving, and I asked him to speak for us. And so I was sitting in the back row, and I'm listening to the teachers and the children, and they're whispering during the whole time. That was their whole teaching time, and I felt so, I don't want to say it felt bad, but I was just surprised. And so I apologized to them, but it kind of made things happen a little bit quicker to find a new location. We need something that's going to be more conducive for a children's ministry. And soon after that's when we learned about a new location. This is in that community room. This was, I think, our first Sunday there in that room where we're meeting. There were a couple of times last fall when we were not able to meet in that room because it is the room that they make available whenever there's a situation. That is the media room, and so the media will come and meet with the police officers. And it was also during the hurricane with Puerto Rico. We have a lot of Puerto Ricans in our neighborhood, and so they did two household drives, and all of those things were collected in the room at the police station. And so we met in our home a couple of Sundays, and so here we are gathered inside of our home. We have a spiral staircase, and our square footage is, 900 feet? And it's three floors, so we have 300 square foot on the top, 300, and we're in that 300 square foot space, all 18 of us that were there that Sunday. And so we're thankful for that, thankful for being close to the police station, but again, looking for a new location that would meet our needs. And this is our patio. We often have meals outside on our patio, and that's what we're doing on that particular Sunday. But just to give you, here's the Charles River. This would be Boston. This is East Cambridge. Just to give you an idea, there's our home. If you didn't see that, there it is. This is where the police station is, and here's MIT. So as you're moving down towards MIT, you're moving more into businesses, moving away from the neighborhood and the homes. And there was a new location that became available right across the street from our home, a Portuguese club. And we were able to start meeting there Mother's Day was when we started meeting there. And it put us back into the neighborhood. And so we're right across the street from our home. It gave us a storage space. We were using a storage space that we were renting because we didn't have storage at the police station. So combined, it's a much better space. We have a huge room. I'll show you the next picture. There it is. It's easy to find. It's painted of the Portuguese flag, red and green. So it's easy for people to find. And that's our space. We meet in the back of the room. And then the stage in the front of the room is where we have our children's meet. So we have a curtain that divides that space, and the children go back in that little tiny space and meet there. So we flip the room, but it works for us, and we're very thankful for it. We went from free to now paying for rent, but it's a good step for our church family, and it puts us into the neighborhood, and people see us. Cambridge Street is very busy on a Sunday, and so we're thankful to be in the neighborhood and meeting there. We also have access not just on Sundays, but we have access on Fridays to this space, and so Friday evenings we can have events here, and so we're looking forward to that. Again, just to focus on some of the universities and just why we're in or what the burden is for Boston. We're very burdened for the city overall, but the city of Boston has over 50 universities, so there's a huge, large international student presence. And I'm going to flip through some slides quickly, but I want to just review some facts with you and update you on some of the facts because they have changed according to Open Door, according to their latest report. There are over 1 million now students that are coming into the United States to study And that number just passed over 1 million. I believe it was 2015 or 2016. And so there's over 1 million coming into the States. And of course, the top three states that they're coming into are California and New York and Texas. And the fourth one is Massachusetts, and ranked number four of all of the states for internationals to come into. And of those schools where the students are coming to, there are two within Boston that are within the top 10. One of them is Boston University. It's number 9. And in 2016, Northeastern University, which has 20-some thousand students, was ranked number 6. And last year, it was ranked number 4 as far as all of the international students in all the United States. Northeastern University is number 4. And so the opportunities for reaching the world are abundant. We could spend all of our time on campuses and enjoy it and see individuals come to know Christ, but we're not going to see a church that's flourishing because it's a transit community. And so our desire is to see a church that's established. And so we're building relationships in our neighborhood and still keeping that international ministry going with the students. But our desire is to see our church grow so that we can then send others into the campuses and have more of an impact in that way. Holt International Business School is one that's just in our neighborhood of East Cambridge, and over 130 nationalities represented on their campuses. Bunker Hill, over 75 languages spoken, over 100 nationalities. MIT, again, that's right in our neighborhood as well. 30% of the student body is made up of international students. So it just gives you some idea of the international presence that's in our community. And our desire is to see a church established in our neighborhood that is reaching these individuals. And as we engage lives in the city, life is then extended to the world. Our desire is to see a church that's established so that we can send teams out to strategic cities around the world. That's our ultimate desire, long-term desire. And again, Northeastern University, which I mentioned, over 100 languages, over 140 nations, and BU. All right, we use different modes of transportation to get around. I mentioned the subway. We sold our car once we moved back into the city. We were finished with our pre-filled deputation ministry, and the car was sitting for a couple of weeks at a time, and we decided it's time to sell it. And so even getting here, we use what's called Zipcar, which you can rent by the hour or rent by the day or a few days. Of course, we use strollers. Not so much, we don't anymore. We've moved beyond that. But the bus system, the boys enjoy the bus, the commuter rail. There's many different modes of transportation in the city. It was just recently I was talking to the boys. Where were we at? Were we on a bus or maybe on the ferry? We were going from one part of Boston to the other part. And I said, growing up is so much, for me, was so much different in Southern Ohio, where I grew up in a small town of 2,500 people, than it is for you. I know what it was. We were Sunday night. We were reporting to a church Sunday evening in Massachusetts, and we were on our way there, and the boys were so excited about the hour car ride because of everything they don't typically ride in a car. As a child, it didn't bother me to ride in a car. It was not unusual, but for them, it's very special and unique. To them, the subway is every day. So much different than my childhood, but just various modes of transportation. Of course, we enjoy walking as well. Boston is a small city, and so we're able to walk it and get around very easily, very quickly. A big part of our ministry is building relationships, and so our desire is once we build a relationship or start a relationship is to get an individual in our home. And a lot of times, particularly with the international, not just students, but even families, a lot of times our home is the first American home that they're in, and it breaks down walls, and then as we have them in our home more often, it provides further opportunity for building a trust in that relationship. So we do a lot of cooking. This is a meal. There's a meal inside our home. This is a meal outside our home. A lot of the guys in this picture are the same young men from China. This is Chart from Taiwan. A lot of our relationships are from Asia. But in our home is where we are able to feed them, and then it just provides an opportunity for conversation, and it gives them a home away from home. And it's very encouraging for us to hear them say, this feels like home, because we know that this is something that God can use in their heart to help build that relationship and break down walls and provide an opportunity for the gospel. This young man here, David, just a couple of weeks ago was Susan's birthday, and he contacted me. He's currently in an internship, and he was walking from his internship and texted me during our evening meal, and he said, can I stop by? And I said, sure. It was on her birthday. And I didn't tell Susan. She could tell because I started going around the room picking up little toys and things that were around. But he came and he brought this huge box of chocolates, and he just wanted to show his appreciation on her birthday for all of the countless meals that she's done for him. He's a young man I'm going to be talking to you about later. We do appreciate your prayers for David, a young student from China. Opportunities in our home. A lot of times students or individuals and families may not be comfortable having us in their home, but they will come to our home. And CJ and his girlfriend Yi wanted us to experience their meal and the way that they cook. And so they came and cooked a meal for us. They taught us how to do dumplings. In his style, he made them I've never seen anyone yet make them better than he has. And so it's just a means of us building relationships with them. CJ has gone through a number of our Bible studies. He has not yet trusted in Christ, but he has he's gone through our whole 12 lessons that we do, which gives them a general idea of what the Bible is all about. He's gone through 9 chapters of the book of Acts and countless other studies. And I constantly see him on the subway, or I was eating lunch in a Chinese restaurant downtown a couple of weeks ago with David, and I'm coming in. It's a very busy restaurant. It's very popular, and I'm coming back to my table, but it's very small, and I hear my name, and I don't typically expect to hear my name in this Chinese restaurant, and it was CJ, and he had come 5 miles down from Malden just to eat lunch on that day, and he happened to be there the same day. And every time I tell him, this is not a coincidence, CJ, that this has happened. There is someone that loves you, and this relationship that we have and the opportunity to tell him about God and my belief in him. So please pray for CJ. Another couple, the same thing. They've come into our home. They haven't yet invited us to their home, but they've helped make meals in our home. And we've had picnics together. We filleted fish together in our home with them. Building relationships through cookies, baking cookies. A lot of times just helping someone have a place where they can make something that they want to make or learn American culture. Currently, Bill and Deb, he is no longer the pastor of the church, but he is still a part of our church family, and so we're very thankful for that. And Deb does a cooking class, and so that is just a means of building relationships with a lot, not just the young ladies, but even the young men. They want to know about American culture, American cuisine, even things like Rice Krispie treats or cheesecake or anything like this that is very common in our culture. This is Harenza and Marjan, two young ladies that we've been building a relationship with. Harenza for a couple of years, Marjan for probably a year now, maybe a little bit less than that. And Harenza and Marjan are Muslim, and they're from the western part of China, near the Stan countries. So most of our relationships are from the major cities, Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. But these two are from the western part of the country, and they are from the Uyghur people group. And the Uyghur people group, if you look at joshuaproject.com, you will find out that, or .org, I'm not sure, Joshua Project. If you Google that, you can look at all the different people groups around the world and see how they are unreached, and it gives you descriptions about them. And according to the Joshua Project, the Uyghur people group, a very Muslim people group, around 11 million, they claim that there's only 50 that have professed Christ. And two of them have been in our home a number of times, and we just spent time with some people in our church just spent time with them, Marjan, or both of them, this past weekend. And they were in our home, and of course, as a Muslim, we have to be very careful with what we cook for them because of their strict diets. And I'm not going to go into the story, but Susan wanted to do lamb because that's very common in their culture, but we had to find the way it was slaughtered, halal, and we had to find a special butcher that had prepared it a certain way. And that was a little interesting. It was also fun trying to find that particular butcher in our city. We did find it. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that if you're interested. These two young ladies have a lot going on at home, and they have some heavy burdens on their hearts right now, and they have been very open with us. Please pray for these two young ladies that they would be open and tender to the gospel, Harenza and Marjan. They're Uyghur. There's about 1,000 Uyghurs, according to my records of what I understand and what I've researched in Boston, and there is one Uyghur restaurant in all of the city. It opened last summer. Just three blocks from our home, the Silk Road restaurant. And so they're constantly, they come into our area a lot just to eat at that restaurant. Building relationships through Lunar New Year, we do a lot around the holidays because, again, particularly with students, even families that are working in the city, they enjoy things wrapped around their holidays, our holidays, and it's just a means of being a family when they don't have a family near. And so this is our home. We had around 300 dumplings that we had prepared, handmade, and they all helped us make those. And then it's just a good way for us to then build up on these relationships. The 4th of July activity we just had this summer, we go early in the day to get the seats right along the river. On the Charles River, they have a barge. Maybe you've seen the Boston fireworks on TV, the Boston Pops concert. But we go to get the seats right on the river where they, or right next to the river, the barge where they let off the fireworks is right there. And we sit right in front of it, arrive around noon. The fireworks aren't until 10:30, and we prepare food, we have games, and people come as they come, when they want to come. Some come for the meal, some come after the meal, some come for games. And this year we had the largest group we've ever had. We had 56 that came to that, and 31 of them were unbelievers. Or not yet believers, as we like to refer to them. And so it's often a time where we then start a relationship. A lot of them we invite, and then they invite other friends because this is they hear this is the place where you can come see the fireworks right here. And so we are constantly spending the whole evening using their social network called WeChat. It's kind of like Facebook, except it's the Chinese social network called WeChat. And so we're just constantly going around the ground, trying to get everyone's contact information, and then in the weeks following, we're starting and inviting people in our home, following up on those relationships. Apple picking, and anytime there's an activity that we can do that's familiar to our culture, to New England, that they're not familiar with, it gives us an opportunity to have several that will come, that we can build a relationship with. Last fall, we had 28 that came, and then Susan and some of the other gals in our church, some of the other ladies, made apple crisps, and we took apple crisps and ice cream down to the campus, and we met more students, and so it's just a means of building upon those relationships. Mid-Autumn Festival, the same thing, our Thanksgiving dinner, another opportunity, again, not just their holidays, but our holidays. It's a means for us to then build upon the relationships, and particularly Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. And it's not, there's nothing, there's no gifts, there's no, it's all being thankful. And we get to say, who are you thankful to? You know, we ask them, what are you thankful for? And then, who are you thankful to? And it makes them think. You know, I'm thankful to somebody. And we're able to express that we're thankful to God. And so it's just, again, another means of relationship building, camping and biking, trying different cuisine. I'll talk more about that later. And then building relationships in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood was settled by the Portuguese. There's a Portuguese club there. There's also several Catholic church. A lot of the Portuguese are now moving out as this part of the city is becoming more expensive to live in. They're moving out. They still come into the city to work. We have our plumber is Portuguese. When we had a car, our mechanic was Portuguese. Our maintenance individual that worked in our home was Portuguese. And so they live in the cities outside of our East Cambridge and Boston, but they still come in. So it's a very Catholic area. And then different ones in the library, the boys there in the picture, in the mail room, we're building relationships as we interact with them on a regular basis, desiring to have that relationship produce an opportunity for sharing the gospel. This is our neighbor Tony and the boys, and Susan and the boys walk by his home often, and he has introduced them to gardening and invited them, given them spider plants, and then they were just sprouts, and he had them come back so he could plant them with them. And so this is just opportunities that we're looking for purposefully in our neighborhood so that we can then share the gospel with them. He's done some tailor work for us, what's the other thing, dry cleaning office nearby. His name is Mr. Vartan from Lebanon, and others in our neighborhood. I'm going to quickly move through because of our time. We introduced the boys to soccer this fall with a desire that we could build relationships with the parents and with the children. And we took the boys to play. That's all they want to do right now is play soccer. And now that they've been introduced to it, and we've gone to the playground, and we took them there just to, for me and Susan to play with them one Sunday, or was it Monday evening, I think it was. And I think 8 boys came and joined us. And so we met all of these boys, and it was something. There were attitudes and all kinds of things that we had to deal with. Parents were nowhere to be found, and we had all of these boys we were dealing with. And I'm hopeful that that will produce opportunities for us to then build upon that as we continue to engage in these relationship opportunities regarding soccer. This is a lady. I'm not going to take the time to build upon that, but she is... She struggles financially, and this is Clayton on Sunday giving her a homemade scone that Susan had made. Her name is Mary, and we have a relationship there. I want to mention this family. The Crawford family is a neighborhood in our home, or in our neighborhood, or a family in our neighborhood, and they're going to be coming to our home on Friday night. So we're coming. We're going to leave, heading back tomorrow, and they'll be in our home for a meal. This will be their first time in our home. So please pray for that particular relationship. They've been long-term residents of the neighborhood. It started out before this. We had met them at the playgrounds, but last Christmas we handed out 80 bags. We had a supporting church just north of us in the city that some of the ladies brought 35, 40 dozen cookies down and helped bake. We wanted all baked, fresh baked goods, and we put 80 bags together and gave them out in our neighborhood to relationships that we already have within our neighborhood. And one of those families we stopped at was the Crawford family. And we had met them at the playground, didn't have much of a relationship with them, but it developed after that. She called Susan the next morning thanking her for that. And then they connected all through the winter. After the fireworks display at the 4th of July, we had some food left over and we contacted them and we met at the playground. So please pray for this particular family and our dinner on Friday night with them, that it will just help us as we build a relationship with them and then desiring to share the gospel with them. Also, the playgrounds in our neighborhood, we have 5 to 7 within a 5-minute walk of our home. And so Susan's constantly taking the boys there. And be praying for those relationships as Susan meets with moms, and even as I take the boys and meet with parents as well, that we can then build upon those relationships, because our desire is to see a church that's established in our neighborhood that's able to reach the internationals throughout our neighborhood and throughout our city. And then these relationships lead to Bible studies. Chart trusted Christ last summer, and Johnson trusted Christ last summer. And he introduced me to Ellen and then Braden. And I'm going to just go through those relationships quickly, but I will do that later. But Johnson's baptism was on March this past year. We went down to Tremont Baptist Temple downtown and used their facility. And we had 36 that were present for the baptism. 9 of them were unbelievers. And Johnson shared his testimony to all of his friends and even his family that had come, his girlfriend who had flown in from Vancouver. And this was part of his testimony. There is a mercy God. He hates the separations and sends us to his son to save us. That was the end of his testimony as he shared that day. What a powerful testimony as he shared. I think he sent it to me ahead of time, and I read it over several times because it was so encouraging to hear his testimony of his trust in Jesus Christ. And it was through him. We met Chart. Chart introduced us to Johnson, and Johnson introduced us to Ellen, and then Ellen introduced us to Braden. There he is. And then Braden told Jay, which is on the corner, about our Bible studies. And it was one relationship right after the other. And Chart, Johnson, and Jay, all three have placed their trust in Christ. And Ellen has too there in the center. And then that led to our Bible study that we've been having on campus. We're meeting on Tuesday nights. We're currently going through the book of Romans. And there we are gathered together, studying together on campus. And this is David. David's a young man that is a friend of Johnson's, and we met him at the 4th of July 2 years ago, and Right before Johnson's baptism, I mentioned to David that we were having his baptism. He ended up coming to that, and he's been to our Sunday service every Sunday except for three when he went back to China for the summer. He's been very regular, very faithful. Please pray for this young man. His heart is very tender. He's the one that brought the chocolates to Susan a couple of weeks ago, and he lives in our neighborhood, so please pray for him that he would, first of all, understand the gospel, and he would put his trust in Jesus Christ. Let's quickly move into God's word. There we are. A few months ago, Susan and I started thinking through all of our relationships that we have in the city of Boston since we moved into the city, and we counted over 50 nations that were represented in those relationships. And so we're overwhelmed with that thought, but God has brought those individuals to us and allowed those relationships to begin, and a lot of them have gone through some part of the study of the Bible. So please be praying for our church family as we grow and mature, that we would be established so that we can be reaching these community, reaching these individuals more effectively. All right, I'm up here. Let's move into Acts chapter 1, a very familiar text, but I was very encouraged the last couple of days as I've been reflecting upon this in Acts chapter 1, and I want to read through verses 1 through 11. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for just the opportunity to be here. And I ask that as we look at this familiar text, that you would remind us of the significance of what Jesus is instructing his disciples on this particular, at this particular time. Remind us of it, and may it impact us tonight and throughout the days ahead, the weeks and months ahead, as we consider your command to us to go into all the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we consider this text, as we consider what is going on, the disciples were experiencing their Savior, the one that they had been following around, their teacher, not just their teacher, but the one that they had now seen die and was crucified and rose again, and now they are seeing him leave, and he has given them this challenge before they've left. And as we consider what is going through their minds during this command, as he says, you shall receive power. He says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and to Judea and into the uttermost part, or into Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. As we think about what they were getting ready to experience and what the rest of Acts portrays for us as we read through it, and what as the church is beginning and developing at that time. So we consider all that is going to happen for them. So we consider our own lives. What is it in our own life that is keeping us or distracting us from sharing the precious gospel with the individuals around us? That's the question I have been thinking about even lately. There are times when I am not as motivated or not as encouraged. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe there's something. But what is it that distracts me from thinking about this precious gospel and this precious task that is ahead of me? First of all, as we consider this in this verse, their need is greater. Their need is greater than whatever is distracting me and keeping me from sharing the precious gospel. Their need is greater than any and all of my escalating, overwhelming fears. Imagine the escalating fear of being a witness in Jerusalem. What is going on in this context? As we look at this verse, when they're asking in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now? Are you going to become the king now, Jesus? Is this the time? They're ready. And Jesus responds, it's not for me to tell. It's not now. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But this is what you need to know. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I imagine that this fear was expressed with this question here in chapter 1, verse 6. There was notable concern about the kingdom. They had observed the death of their Messiah in this city, the nation that had crucified Christ. Consider the description that Jesus gives of this city. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. This was the city that Jesus was calling them to be a witness to him. Consider John's own description of the fear that gripped the disciples when he describes it at the end of his book, in chapter 20, verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked. The disciples, as they were after his death, after his resurrection, they had the doors locked for concern for their own lives. They were fearful. Following John chapter 20, verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and again, the underlying description, the doors were locked. These were men who were fearful, and yet Jesus has called them to go into this city, to go into these districts to proclaim the gospel. John's own description, they had met at night, they met behind locked doors. I want to go back there. John, even after all of these times, and even not just John's description, but consider Peter in his own fear and what we follow in the Gospels regarding Peter. What is it? What is the escalating or overwhelming fears that are keeping you, keeping me from sharing the gospel? Maybe it's the getting around or getting to them. As a teenager, one of my greatest fears was driving. I have a twin sister, and she was able to get in that car and go and go and go. And driving to me was overwhelming. On those backcountry roads, I wanted to steer. I don't even know which. Some days I would want to steer closer to the edge, away from the middle of the lane. Sometimes I wanted to be away from the edge of the road. I was fearful. I remember when my dad put the buckets, the 5-gallon buckets with broomsticks in them, with concrete that he had put those in and put that out in our yard and put a field up for parallel parking. I looked out my bedroom window thinking, I will never, ever master this. And I remember calling out to God from my bedroom window, God, please, I will go anywhere if you just take away this fear from driving from me. And God knew all along at that moment that this 16-year-old boy was going to move from West Union, Ohio to Boston. And he also knew that I was going to sell my car first thing. What is it that is keeping us from sharing the gospel? Maybe it's finding housing or financial stability. Maybe it's, for us, traveling on the subway or communication, not understanding. I remember when I met during my internship with Bill and Deb Edmondson, and Deb, who has long-term served with Campus Bible Fellowship and then as a church planter in the city of Boston, and she was engaging these students, helping them with their English conversation. I thought, how is she even able to understand them? I cannot understand what they're saying. And now those conversations are some of my most favorite parts of the ministry, because I see where those relationships lead to opportunities to share the gospel. But at first, it was a fearful thing. I remember tough questions like one that CJ asked me after we'd had many Bible studies. He said, so who are the Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6? And if you're not familiar with that, I challenge you to go look at that. And I had to answer that question for him. Or, why are there so many Bible translations? Can you tell me about the controversies and all of this and these questions that they want to know the answers to and asking? Maybe it's food. I remember, you can't see these very well, but this up here in the top corner is octopus. This is lamb, become one of my most favorite Chinese dishes. This is some kind of a Japanese dish. I can't remember what it was. This in the middle, can you tell what that is? Maybe. Chicken feet. Anyone ever had chicken feet? Okay. I hadn't had them until I came to Boston, and it's very... I'm sorry. I'm pointing the wrong way. My wife just let me know. The middle is chicken feet, and you can see it much better than I can back there. And I remember thinking the first time that I was introduced to chicken feet, I didn't know how I was going to be able to stomach it. And I've had them a couple of times since. I've never liked them, but I've been able to tolerate them. And I've learned since that my dad ate them growing up. He grew up in Kentucky, and they used them all the time. But it was not one of my favorites. But those were some of my fears of eating these foods that are becoming familiar with this culture. What is it? What is intimidating? What is causing you to not engage individuals and not share the gospel with them? Maybe it's fear of rejection. Maybe it's fear of insecurity. Maybe it's they've heard this before. Why are they going to listen to me now? I don't know what it might be. Maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe it's intimidation. Maybe it's your peers, your boss, your coworkers, your neighbors, even your family. What is it that is keeping you from just sharing the gospel, the precious gospel of Jesus Christ? The disciples had a right to fear. They had just seen their Messiah crucified, and Jesus says, you're going to go into Jerusalem and you're going to be a witness to me. But he says it after he says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Consider verses chapter 4, verse 13, when they had seen the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. This is what happened as the book of Acts continued. We see these men in their boldness because of the Holy Spirit filling them. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. This is Peter and James and John. When they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, just calling out to him, even during this time of difficulty, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit who had given them a boldness. Further text of, we're going to go through the next one. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and the senate of the people of Israel. And when they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And yet they continued and they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for his name. They were filled with the Holy Spirit who is giving them the power to be bold in their witness. The power of the Spirit is capable of calming any anxious emotions that are preventing me from sharing the precious gospel. That's a wonderful truth to consider. Jesus said to the disciples, you're going to be a witness to me, but it's after the Holy Spirit, his power has come upon you. Continuing on, their need is greater than any emotional feeling of disdain or resentment that I have experienced or will develop for any particular people group or lifestyle. You know, we are faced in the city with abundant lifestyles. We had a conversation last night in our home with an individual who's struggling with this. She is developing her own relationship. She's a young believer, and she's talking about the challenges in her workplace of dealing with certain lifestyles and how to love them and how to develop that relationship with them, the opportunity to share the gospel. That is difficult. It's difficult to love individuals who are opposed to what God has said in his word, and they want to live a certain lifestyle because of what they've experienced or because of their own personal emotional feelings. And anything against that is contrary to them, and they put up a wall to you, and it's difficult to love them. And yet God has called us to do it. And yet he has also given us the individual who is going to empower us for that. And those were encouraging conversations that we were able to have with this young lady last night. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be able to do so. Continuing on, in Acts chapter 8, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that the Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them. What a significant thing to think about with disdain that the Jews had for the Samaritans, this group of people who were considered half Jews, or because they had intermarried, and yet and there was such disdain between these two groups. And yet when Philip goes to share the gospel with them and word gets down to the leaders, the apostles down in Jerusalem, they go back. They go up to Samaria to confirm these things are so. And when they confirm the things are so, that these disciples or these Samaritans have trusted in Christ, they return to Jerusalem. And what do? They go to the Samaritans and preaching the gospel to them. All because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Our time is up, and I want to keep going to get to our next part. Not only is their need is greater than any emotional feeling of disdain or resentment that I have experienced or will, but as we continue on, the power of the Spirit is capable of melting any long-established disdain that is holding me back from sharing the precious gospel. Anything that's keeping me from whatever it is about that individual's life or struggle, the power of the Holy Spirit is able to help me get over that and able to help me love them. And lastly, he is capable of empowering me not to only speak to them, but even to love them. And then lastly, their need is greater than any seemingly undoable, daunting task for sharing the gospel. You know, it may seem daunting, such as looking out the window and seeing parking or maneuver practicing parallel parking, moving away, or even going to that neighbor's house who has been resentful or has said, don't tell me any more about the gospel, don't speak anymore, don't invite me to any other services. That seems daunting to even think that there's going to be another opportunity. And yet, the power of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus instructs the disciples with. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you will be witnesses unto me, to Jerusalem, to Samaria, and to the other parts of the world. What is it that seems daunting to you about sharing the gospel? I'm going to keep going. So we consider Paul and or his own going, his desire was to get to Rome and going through prison and all of the years of prison that he was in prison for in Jerusalem and also in Rome. And what does he write to the Philippians? I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. This individual, Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit who gave him the boldness. And not only that, he was able to encourage others then to be bold and to be able to share the gospel in Rome. I don't know what it is that's daunting or intimidating or fearful to you. Maybe it's the cities. You know, this is Boston, and then you've got New York, which is closer to you, Vancouver, Mexico City, Shanghai, Bangkok. Wow. There are many things that are daunting to us. Maybe it's going to the city, maybe it's going next door. The power of the Spirit is capable of strengthening and encouraging and preparing me for whatever gospel-sharing task that is seemingly undoable and daunting. Jesus says, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Comforting truths as we consider this task and their need. You will receive power. Luke 24, clothed with power from on high, the Holy Spirit. And with great power the apostles were given their testimony, power of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was able to do doing great wonders and signs among the people. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. A young man that Paul spoke of, and he says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. Encouraging words for a young man, Paul, who Paul was mentoring. Their eternal separation from God is exceedingly more detrimental than any moment of discomfort or intimidating situation that I may experience. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to share the gospel. Their need is so much greater than whatever it is that is distracting you from sharing the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go share it. And let's ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance and help.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you for the update and for the challenge. Certainly, the Lord is doing great things there in Boston, East Cambridge, and we want to praise the Lord for that. We want to pray for them. We need to pray for ourselves. that we would be challenged to be that witness and that testimony and not be fearful, as he has shared with us tonight. So I've asked Mike and Howard to lead us in prayer, specifically for the Stevens and their ministry, but also pray for us that we would be faithful in our witness and testimony. So we'll close with prayer.
Father, thank you for this challenge tonight to our church. Thank you for the blessing of having the Stevens with us, their whole family. Thank you for what was shared. And it is a stirring reminder of what we need to do. We thank you that you loved us enough that for all who are saved in this room, you sent someone to witness to us. They had to overcome their own fears and to call upon courage from you to some regard, whether it was a Sunday school teacher or a friend or family member, parent, grandparent, whatever it was. We thank you for that. Father, we need to do the same, and we pray that you'd move us to do the same. We thank you for what you are doing in East Cambridge and Boston and the suburbs around. Thank you for the passion you've put upon Toby and his family, and we pray, Father, that you would bless. We thank you for the salvations that have taken place for Chart, for Johnson. Thank you for their salvations. We pray that David will come to know you. We pray for Hienza and Marjan, that those ladies will come to know you. We know that, Father, they come to know you. They go home. The gospel naturally spreads. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2 when your church started. That's what happened often through history. We pray that it will continue to happen with Boston being a center for that. May you give them courage as they reach to the universities and plant seeds for the dinners and the meals and the cookies and everything else that they do to build relationships. What a key that is, Lord. You pointed out in your word many times about how important it is to build relationships and to reach out to the unsaved. May they be successful. We can tell that they love the people of their community. May the people of their community there in East Cambridge especially come to know their love for you and just be so attracted to it that they would grow and build and eventually come to know you as Savior. Lead Toby as pastor of this church, International Baptist. Give him wisdom and grace as he seeks to serve you. And Father, again, we just pray here at Towanda. To us, East Cambridge and Boston is huge, and Towanda is very small. We are here for your purpose, and in large part, it's to reach this town. Help us, Father, to reach our neighbors, to love them, to set aside the things that have hindered us from being the witness that we need to be. Help us to serve you in this way and lay aside anything, Lord, that would stop us from showing love by sharing the gospel. Thank you for our night together. In Jesus' name.
Father, we continue in prayer this evening. We want to thank you for Toby, the Stevens family, his wife Susan, and his sons Curtis and Clayton. Father, we want to thank you for you calling them to East Cambridge. And Father, we want to thank you for those 13 folks that make up that International Baptist Church that you have planted there for a reason. And the reason is to get your gospel out into that neighborhood. We want to thank you that they are back in their neighborhood now, and that they were able to use the police station for a while to get them established. But Father, we just want to thank you for the way you are blessing their ministry. We want to thank you for the way that their church is able to reach out to these international students. You know, all of them that he asked us to remember to pray for, this David from China and CJ, and the two ladies that are Muslims. And Father, we just pray that you will just move in their hearts and their lives. And the one thing I noticed that was mentioned over and over and over again as he was flipping through the slides, was building relationships. And Father, that is what the whole entire scripture is about, is building relationships. You having a relationship with us, us having that close relationship with you, having relationships with each other, build each other up as believers to reach out to those in our community with the gospel. And Father, I just pray that you will help us to realize that's why you put us here, is to share your word, to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. Father, help us to realize that, you know, what God has called us to do, he will enable us to do it. We get so fearful when we look at our weaknesses and how we are not able to do, but we are not to do it in our own power. We're to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, just help us to trust you, to believe your word, and you will give us that boldness that we need. Father, be with them this week as they meet with the Crawford family and their neighbors as they have that meal. Father, we just pray that you will, your spirit will be there, that give them the words to say, give them the just the fellowship that they need to build that relationship. Thank you for them. Thank you for their willingness to serve you. And Father, I just ask that you would do the same for us here. In Jesus' name.
Let's stand together. Father, as we close this evening, we just again want to thank you for our time together. Thank you for the Stevens. Thank you for this update. And I pray that we as a church would be faithful in praying for them, not just tonight as they are here, but regularly. Praying for that ministry that we have heard of tonight and knowing that you are doing a work there and praying that you would continue to do a work in the lives of those with whom they are building these relationships with. We pray, Father, that this church would be established and that from this church others would go forth to those campuses, and then as people are saved and going around the world, Father, you can use this church as a great hub of sending others around the world to the uttermost parts of the earth so that others would come to know Christ as their Savior. We pray that we'd be, again, Father, as a supporting church, just behind them with our finances, but, Father, even more importantly, with our prayers. And we'd ask that we would not, again, be forgetful, but that we'd be faithful in praying and that we'd be faithful in our own witness and in our own testimony. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.